Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fellow Falcoholics, welcome to another episode of the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight at Falcoholic. Kevin here to bring you a quite nerdy version. A quite nerdy episode here where we're going to be diving into some stats, diving into some research I've done into the Sean McVay offense that was with the Rams in 2023. And basically, as the title says, how will this Falcons offense change under Zach Robinson in 2024? Obviously, we don't know exactly how because we haven't seen it. We haven't really seen much outside of some light 7-on-7 type work in OTAs. There's been no contact. We haven't really seen the full team. We haven't really seen the full install, any of that stuff. So this is all speculation, but it's speculation based on what the Rams did in 2023, because that's the closest hint that we have to what the Falcons are planning to do in 2024. Not all of these things are likely to happen. I'm sure Zach Robinson's going to put his own spin on things, you know, especially when Penix gets involved. You know, eventually there's probably likely to be more of an emphasis on the QB run. You know, that's one thing. But that's probably going to be a couple years out. And it's really interesting to see like just how different the Falcons 2023 offense and 2024 offense are likely to be. This could be one of the most drastic changes of any team this offseason, maybe in the last several years, in terms of wide receiver usage, in terms of the amount of passing plays that are going to be drawn up. Just the overall feel of the offense is going to be dramatically different if what we believe to be true about the Falcons pathway under this new coaching staff is true. We could see a pretty dramatic overhaul and dramatic change that could lead to some very good things for the Falcons as currently constructed, because believe it or not, the Falcons seem to have been mostly put together to be a very high-flying passing team, and instead they've been very run heavy. They haven't really had the quarterback to really get the ball to all of their expensive and high draft capital receiving options. We all know they were very predictable in the run game with the way they did things. They didn't really diversify that. The run game fell off a cliff, statistically speaking, despite the addition of a top 10 running back. And, you know, we all know the criticisms of the offense last year. Well, this offense with the Rams, I'm happy to report, it really addresses a lot of those criticisms, and it's going to be a very different approach. I can guarantee that. So we're going to dive into that today. Some of the statistical things and sort of the quirks of the Rams offense that I'm really excited about, that I believe we're going to see the Falcons do at least some of these things under Zach Robinson in 2024. So before we dive into that, I want to bring you a real quick word from our sponsor, BetOnline. Of course, guys, BetOnline is your number one source for your NBA and NHL playoff bets this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played, BetOnline's got you. And once the game's over, you can head on over to their online casino and get in on a game of blackjack. That's my weakness. I gotta make sure to stay away. They've also got poker there. They've got over 150 online slots games. You could also head to that website today to get in on the action, whatever that action is for you. Just don't forget to use our promo code. That's Believe, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. All right, folks. So we're going to be diving in to basically the ways that the Falcons offense will change or be different, considering, you know, what we've seen in the past. So the right off the top, right, we're going to see that the Falcons 11 personnel is the offense. That is going to be the personnel package that the Falcons roll out pretty much every snap. And I know, you know, that's kind of obvious, right? We've talked about that a lot, but you know, the difference is going to be dramatic because not only are the Falcons going to 11 as a pretty much or nearly every down sort of situation, they're going from the least usage of 11 personnel, which is three wide receivers, one running back, and one tight end. The numbers in that, by the way, folks, the first number is the number of running backs. The second number is the number of tight ends. And there is no number that talks about the receivers. You have to infer the receivers based on those two numbers. As you know, you have five skill position guys out there. So based on the number of tight ends and running backs, you can guess how many receivers there are. There's one running back, one tight end, 11 personnel, three receivers, right? The Falcons used 11 personnel on just 14% of their snaps, basically never used it or very rarely used it. And the Rams used it 82% of the time and this is based on first down, by the way. If you look at all plays, the Rams used three wide receivers on roughly 94% of all of their plays in 2023. They almost never got out of 11 personnel, or at least used three receivers. These stats, by the way, are coming from a mix of PFF, a mix of NFELO. And on NFELO, it's interesting because they look at a lot of the stuff based on first down, which is theoretically like a neutral or a more neutral play calling environment. It's not affected by, like, you know, you're going to be passing more on third down, that sort of stuff. So it adds a little bit of a wrinkle. So we're going to, you know, look at some different stats here and there. But yeah, the Falcons are going from the least usage of 11 to the most in one offseason. And as a result, they signed or added three receivers in free agency, veteran trade market. They, of course, drafted Casey Washington on day three. We're getting a lot more receivers in here. And, you know, the Rams basically made the decision last year, that's kind of been a staple of Sean McVay's offense, that they want the same personnel out there pretty much every snap. And the reason for this is so that it looks like the offense is always the same. And if the offense is always the same, the defense doesn't get any clues or hints about the play calling or the run pass tendency based on the personnel that are on the field. And this extends to the personnel themselves. And we're going to get to that in the next point. But basically, the Rams want the offense to look the same every snap. The personnel out there is not going to give the defense any clues about if this is going to be a run or a pass, a deep pass, a medium pass, a screen. And they want the offense to look the same so that the defense doesn't know what's coming. And that's a great idea because half of the NFL is confusing your opponent, the subterfuge angle, that sort of stuff. So doing that successfully is a big reason why the Rams had so much success, because defenses don't really get a lot of hints about what's coming. The Rams get the element of surprise. It helps everyone out if you can maintain that element of surprise on offense. Another interesting thing is that both the Rams and the Falcons almost never use shotgun, or they used it very rarely. The Rams only used it about 26% of the time on first down. That's 30th. The Falcons used it the least of any team last year at just 20%. Interestingly, though, the Rams did use single back sets at one of the highest rates in the NFL, which is just the one running back, right, under center. That's 44% of the time they did that, which is third. The Falcons used the single back set just 13% of the time. That's 26%. So while these two teams aren't shotgun teams, they don't do a lot of shotgun, one of them uses the single back sort of look. And one of them, the Falcons, used a lot of multiple tight ends, a lot of fullback, a lot of, you know, eye formation, that type of stuff. The Rams don't really do that. They use that one running back, and they're under center, and they basically try to make that offense look as generic as possible so that the defense doesn't get a lot of hits. So that's going to be a difference. The Falcons like to roll out all their under Arthur Smith, it was all these different personnel packages. They had 12, they had 13, you know, at some of the highest rates in the NFL. They had their fullback sets. They had 21 even, where they get all these blockers and all these tight ends out there. And the Falcons under Zach Robinson, assuming it's similar to the Rams, they're going to be 11 personnel with one running back, one tight end, probably under center, probably in that single back look, and that's it. So very big change potentially on the horizon just from that personnel formation sort of standpoint. The second main point, and I know a lot of people are going to be happy about this, especially the fantasy heads, the top players are going to be featured because that is what the Rams do. Not only will you get that 11 personnel sort of dominating the snap count, but the Rams played basically the same exact personnel as much as they could outside of injury and that sort of thing. And they did make some changes over the course of the season, but they basically had three top receivers, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and Tutu Atwell. Those guys played basically as many snaps as they could handle. They also had one rotational guy that they would mix in. That was DeMarcus Robinson. Now, DeMarcus Robinson did end up taking the starting job from Tutu Atwell later in the season, and then he became that starter, and Atwell sort of moved into that rotational role. But the idea is that they're going to have the same receivers out there pretty much every snap as well. And those three guys dominated the snap counts, and the other guys didn't get many at all. So you might not see those depth receivers play much at all outside of, you know, specific situations or injuries. And it's the same at running back and the same at tight end. They had one guy dominate the snaps at both those positions. For the Rams, of course, it was Tyler Higbee and Kyren Williams. For the Falcons, this group, you would think this is a pretty obvious group, right? At wide receiver, you're going to get Drake London, you're going to get Darnell Mooney, and you're going to get Rondale Moore. That rotational guy is probably going to be whoever wins that wide receiver four battle. You know, they do have some interesting guys in there, right? They've got Casey Washington, who seems to be coming on strong in OTAs. We'll see if he can keep that momentum up over the rest of the summer. We also have Kadarryl Hodge, who we know can play inside outside. He's a great special teamer. I would say he's probably the favorite given his versatility. And then we have Ray-Ray McCloud, who's more of that slot receiver archetype. If they want more of that, you know, he could be in the mix there too. We're going to get Kyle Pitts, as much Kyle Pitts as we can handle. You know, Tyler Higbee played 70%+ of the snaps last year. I'm thinking they want Kyle Pitts to do that too. And then Bijan Robinson at running back. And again, Kyren Williams, when he was healthy, was playing 80%+ of the snaps. And, you know, overall, of course, he did miss a few games, so he didn't end up playing that much like overall. But for the games that he was active and healthy, he played over 82% of the snaps. And that's what we're probably looking at for Bijan too, given that investment. So the fantasy head should be very happy if the Falcons do this like the Rams, because you're going to have the clear-cut guys, the top three at receiver, maybe a fourth guy that mixes in, the top tight end and the top running back, and those guys are going to get the targets. The offense is sort of designed around them. And the other part of that also ties into the first point, which is the offense is going to look the same more or less every snap. You know, there may be some situations where the Falcons do bring in like Charlie Werner as more of the blocking tight end. There may be some situations where the Falcons want Tyler Allgeier for that specific like battering ram short yards type stuff. We also know Allgeier was the better pass blocker. Obviously, they're going to be working really hard, I assume, to get Bijan's pass blocking to a better place. In college, Bijan was a very good pass blocker, so I'm not really thinking that's going to be much of an issue for him. It's moving to the NFL level, it's always tough. But yeah, where the Falcons about to emphasize their top players, and given the investment they've put into those guys, this makes a lot of sense. You know, for teams that don't necessarily have that top talent, they're not as top heavy as Atlanta is, this could be an issue. Obviously, if injuries strike, that could be an issue too. For the Falcons, you'd think that this would be a boon. You know, Atlanta has invested that major capital. They've acquired those top guys at wide receiver, tight end, and running back, and this scheme should theoretically put the focus on those guys to step up and shine, because they're going to get the target share. They're going to get the snaps that they didn't necessarily get under Arthur Smith, unless your name is like Drake London, right? So that's one aspect of it that I think most people should be pretty excited about. Getting in more to more of like the schematic and tendency type stuff, the passing game, it will be emphasized more. That I think is obvious to anyone with eyes, but this is still going to be a relatively balanced offense on the whole relative to the NFL, if it's anything like the Rams last year. As most people know, the Falcons were the most run-heavy team in the NFL last year, right? Atlanta, you know, at the end of the day, I believe Atlanta did had the lowest, or they actually didn't have the lowest pass rate. Excuse me. The Falcons were the number two most run-heavy team in the NFL, technically, in terms of raw pass run rate. The Falcons ran the ball at 44% of the time and passed 55% of the time. That was second behind the 49ers, who were 45-54. But the Falcons were by far the lowest in the league in terms of pass rate over expectation. So the Falcons ran the ball about 10% of the time more often than like you would expect a team to do. And that made them the most thematically run-heavy team of anyone in the NFL. You compare that to the Rams. The Rams were actually not one of the most pass-heavy teams. You hear all this 11, you hear about these receivers. The Rams were actually 25th in terms of their pass-run frequency. The Rams were 58-41 run-pass split. That's 25th. But they were just minus 2.8% in pass rate over expectation, pass rate over expectation, which is 21st. So they were pretty balanced on the whole. Definitely more run focused than a lot of NFL teams overall. But they weren't run heavy compared to the Falcons or the 49ers. They were much closer to that grouping of sort of teams that were more in that balanced range. But there's no doubt this is going to be more passing emphasis in Atlanta, given, you know, what they've invested and given relative to what they were before. Also, you've got Kirk Cousins, so that's going to impact things, and you're going to see a lot more passing just by nature of that. No matter what happened in terms of the scheme, you got a good quarterback, you're going to throw the ball. And that probably affected the Falcons' ideas with the passing game last year. There's no question there. But, you know, Kirk Cousins, we've talked about it a lot. We could go through it, you know. If he's healthy and he's playing like last year, he was one of the most.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Biggest surprises. I mean, best quarterbacks in the NFL, basically, through his 8-game start. I know, according to PFF, he was, I think, 9th in PFF rating among all quarterbacks over the course of the season. He, in the NFELO rankings, he was 4th with, I think, 2.5 points above average in terms of, I think that's their way that they quantify sort of starting quarterbacks and that sort of thing. So he obviously had an impressive season last year. You know, one of the best completion rates over expectation of any starting quarterback that played, you know, major snaps. I think the usual suspects were a little bit higher. Cousins was at 4.2%. So that's, you know, in terms of he completed more passes than you would expect an average quarterback to make by a pretty significant margin. Cousins was at 4.2%. Josh Allen was at 5. And then you had guys like Brock Purdy was at 5.3. Tua was at 4.4. And then you get into guys like Lamar Jackson, 3.4. Dak Prescott, 3.9. Patrick Mahomes was at just 2.7. That probably had a decent amount to do with his receivers as well. You know, Jordan Love, 1.1. So, you know, and guys like Matthew Stafford, he was minus 2.5. So all that to say, you know, Kirk is probably good enough to run this offense to be able to do this. I think he's more than good enough to execute this offense. I think he's more than good enough to be that type of player that gets this Falcons team into position to actually utilize the passing game and make it a strength that they just really didn't have last year. Cousins, we know he's more of a field general style quarterback, right? He's not necessarily a bombs away gunslinger. He's not necessarily anyone that's going to take off and do much in the run game. And that's one other thing, right? That the quarterback run is not going to be an emphasis at all. If Taylor Heineke gets in the game or Michael Penix gets in the game, you're probably going to see that more. But with Matthew Stafford and with Kirk Cousins, neither of these guys are running quarterbacks. They're going to try. They're good at avoiding pressure, and Cousins in particular is really good at getting rid of the ball if he's under pressure. But these guys are not going to take off and scramble for major yards. I think Cousins had like 10 attempts in 8 games last year. I think Stafford had like 20 in the full season. So you're not going to see the quarterback run, but you are going to see the passing game emphasized. And as an extension, you're going to see the wide receivers targeted a lot more. I don't think it's going to be as drastic as it was for the Rams. Last year, the Rams targeted their receivers at the highest rate in the NFL. They had a 71% target share, which is first in the NFL. And again, another drastic difference, the Falcons targeted their wide receivers at the lowest rate in the NFL, just 38% of the time, 32nd. The Falcons, on the other hand, had the highest target share for tight ends at 34%, which is by far the most, and the third highest for running backs at 24%. Now, given that the Falcons do have the talent at tight end and the talent at running back, we're probably going to see this be less of an extreme split. But I think we're going to see the wide receiver targets obviously go way up. I would expect the wide receiver targets to be above 50% of the targets, but we should still probably see the tight end and running back numbers higher than expected. And that's just the way that this passing game is likely to go. I mean, the slot receiver is going to be much more emphasized. Obviously, it was completely out of the picture, more or less, for the Falcons under Arthur Smith. This time, you know, the team has talked up Rondale Moore to the moon. We'll see if he's the primary slot guy or if he moves around. I think we could see, you know, I know we're talking about 11 personnel as like 3 wide receivers and 1 tight end, and Kyle Pitts is that tight end. I'm wondering if we do see Kyle Pitts as one of those 3 receivers where he plays the big slot, or maybe he plays some outside and they go with more of, you know, Charlie Werner as the 1 tight end and use him more as a blocking presence. But I think they could get creative with that. And so it's technically 12 personnel, but it's not, but it's more, I mean, Kyle Pitts, we know, more of a wide receiver than a tight end. And they're probably not going to be using Kyle Pitts as an inline tight end all that much. And I hope they don't. I hope they give him as much receiving work as he can handle. Hopefully he's healthy and back to that. But overall, this Falcons team going to be a lot more wide receiver focused. And you know, that's good for Drake London. That's going to be good for Darnell Mooney. And I think it's gonna be good for everyone. I think we're just going to see a more rational target split given the Falcons talent at all these positions. Talking about the run game specifically, the run game is going to be a lot more diverse. That's one big thing. It's something I'm really excited about. I think the Rams showed how really impactful that could be. They're not the Rams, again, coming from that Shanahan tree, used to be extremely zone heavy. We saw this for many years. They've gradually shifted, and now they're to a place in 2023 where they were extremely diverse. They still did plenty of zone, but they did a lot of power and man stuff in the middle as well. And again, that also leads to there's much more of an even split of inside-outside running, whereas the Falcons were basically an outside zone team, and they ran outside zone. And, you know, teams figured it out. I mean, there was no fooling anyone. The Falcons were going to run outside zone, and if you either stopped it or you didn't, but they weren't fooling you with it, right? And it became very much less effective over the course of the season. So the Rams employed both of those blocking schemes to great effect in 2023, which is, again, a departure from their zone-heavy emphasis in the past. They were also much more balanced in terms of run location. Falcons were not. And you look at this stuff, you see these NFL teams, you know, the Falcons, in terms of their running, pretty balanced in terms of running left to right. The Rams actually had the exact same left-right splits, 51 left, 48 right. But in terms of the gaps these teams were running through, the Falcons were the lowest. They ran inside at the lowest rate of any team. And that is just 13%. They were running, you know, off the guard inside, whereas the Falcons were one of the heavier tackle and end runners, you know, in between the guard and the tackle and then outside completely. So, you know, the Falcons were 40% there and 46% just completely outside. The Rams, on the other hand, they were at 30% inside, 31% between the guard and tackle, and then 37% outside tackle. So, much more diverse, right? Much more split in terms of those runs. And I think this is that would be a good thing for this Falcons team to get that sort of diversity to their run game, because it became just too one note and too predictable last year. It was just way too easy. And the other thing is, I think the Falcons have the size and have the power inside to run man gap scheme stuff successfully. Like they have a super athletic offensive line that can get out on the move and crush people in outside zone and take advantage of their mobility, but they don't have to do that. This is not just this tiny finesse line. They've really invested hard in this offensive line, and I think they can finally use that to create a really strong and diverse run game, because they have these big dudes. They have Bergeron, a former tackle, in at guard there. Lindstrom, again, another big, strong, and athletic guard. Obviously, McGarry is one of the better run-blocking tackles in the NFL. And then you've got, you know, Drew Dahlman, again, a run game specialist. He's definitely more of that athleticism-based center, but I think he's been working on the run game, the physical stuff as well. And I think that's going to be a point of emphasis, is we have to get better at, you know, power running, and we need to be able to diversify our approach up front. And I'm sure those offensive linemen and the running backs are going to benefit quite a bit from that, because again, it was so predictable. And that's kind of the big takeaway from this, I think, is that, you know, and this was something that I sort of fell for, which is I like the idea of Arthur Smith, you know, getting all these tight ends out there and running this offense with all these different formations and trying to take advantage of opponents' weaknesses. And instead, what we saw was that the Falcons just telegraphed their intentions with all these formations. Like, they would go out in 13 and it's like, oh, they're going to run the football. It's like, oh, they're running outside zone. You know, they got these tight ends out here, all this stuff. And it got to be so bad that they would go out there with Kyle Pitts trying to fool people, and they were like, well, we're just going to, you know, send guys right at Kyle Pitts because we know he's not going to be run blocking very well. And the Falcons just didn't really find a way to pivot out of that. They were way too predictable offensively, and teams just sat on it. And again, when you have a quarterback that's not getting it done, it becomes really easy to sit on the run game. They don't really have to worry too much about the passing game taking off. So that obviously hurt things. It's not like it's all play calling related, but all of the different formations that the Falcons use, and they used a lot. You know, they had a pretty wide diversity. They had a good split. You know, they used some shotgun, they used some single back, they used some eye, you know, a lot of other stuff in terms of their personnel packages. You know, they used 12 at the highest rate in the league. I know they used 21 at, you know, pretty high rate as well. Top five, 22, they used the most of any formation. You know, 13, they were up there in the top 10 as well. You know, the only thing they weren't in the top 10 of course, was 11, where they were the last place team. So they had all these different packages, all these different players, and it just seemed disjointed. It seemed like it didn't really fool anyone. It really didn't take advantage of opponents' weaknesses. Instead, it sort of telegraphed their intentions, and it didn't work. And that's not to say that it can't ever work. Maybe, you know, it with a better quarterback behind it, you know, it could have worked better. It just didn't work last year. This year, we're probably going to see this team look completely different, and that they just play 11. They play more or less the same guys every snap if they're healthy. And they're going to do a lot of different things out of that one package instead of learning all of these different packages. And, you know, on its face to me, that seems, you know, again, benefit of hindsight, all these formations and stuff, I thought that sounded great. I thought that sounded interesting, possibly very effective. It didn't really work out. And honestly, a lot of the time you could see, like, it looked like the players sometimes were confused. There were mistakes. You know, it looked like, so I wonder if all of these different packages and all these different personnels, all these different moving pieces in terms of the players involved with these, I do wonder if that had something to do with, you know, that the complexity and all of these different packages and all this different stuff, if that made it harder on the players to sort of grasp the offense, and that slowed down the uptake of stuff, and that made it, you know, less efficient. It made it harder for Ritter, made it harder for everyone. And I wonder if going to a system like this, which is we're going to play 11, we're going to have more or less the same people out there, and we're going to run everything out of 11. And this is just, you know, you're going to line up like this on these plays and all that. I wonder if that that simplification is helpful to the players, and helping this maybe get going a little bit faster than what Arthur Smith's offense did. And I do also wonder, you know, if it's sort of the simplicity is also what makes it so dangerous, because the opponents, they don't really get a read on what you're doing, right? And I think this is just what, this is kind of what Arthur Smith wanted to do, which is to take advantage of opponents' weaknesses and don't let them know what you're doing and force them into uncomfortable situations. The Rams don't do it by mixing up the personnel. They just do it by being completely, it's like they've thrown a cloak over their entire offense, because when you look at it, like every play, it's the same personnel. So it's like 3rd and 1, it's 11 personnel. You know, 3rd and 10, it's 11 personnel. It's like, okay, well, are they passing? Are they running? We don't really know. You can't really key on anything. And maybe that is a schematic advantage. And certainly for the Rams, it worked out very well for them last year with their offense. But it's interesting. It's fascinating. I'm really going to be interested to see how, you know, we're not going to get to see a lot of it, obviously, in camp or, you know, even in the preseason necessarily. We'll get to see some. But, you know, is it just, I wonder how similar this will be to the Rams offense. You know, Zach Robinson's certainly going to put his own spin on things. I'm sure he'll have some different stuff. Like I said, I wonder if one of the big wrinkles that he'll be putting in is they'll technically be playing a lot of 12, but Kyle Pitts isn't really a tight end in the traditional sense. So it's 11, but it's with Kyle Pitts as the slot receiver or something like that. So, you know, I'm interested to see what the other wrinkles are too. I'm really excited to see more power scheme running. I think that is going to be exciting. I think that's a very good way to spring Bijan for big runs, because again, he's so good at making guys miss. If he can get through that A gap, and just, you know, juke the middle linebacker, he could be gone, you know. And outside zone, that did give him opportunities to do that as well, but you have to outrun everyone to the sideline, and then you have to try to make your move while you're going to the sideline, and the space is condensed. When you're in the middle of the field like that, you have so much room to move around. That could be a good fit for him. I mean, I know he didn't necessarily run a lot of power stuff in college, and he's a very good zone runner, and I think he will continue to do zone stuff well. It's just, it was so one note and so predictable under Arthur Smith last year, and that might have been out of necessity because of, you know, the struggles at quarterback and such. But I think the diversity of the offense in terms of the run game, in terms of the passing game coming to life, it'll be good for everyone involved. And I think they should be able to get the element of surprise back, at least initially, right? Because teams aren't going to have film on the Falcons. They're going to be probably studying the Rams offense to get an idea of the Falcons, but the Falcons are going to do some stuff differently than the Rams. We're just using the closest thing we can to sort of get an idea. But I think this is something that's going to be good for the offense, good for fantasy football, right? The fantasy heads we know are very pissed about the way the Falcons utilized their players last year. I, you know, as a manager of many Falcons players on many fantasy teams, and as a Falcons fan, was upset on all levels. So that's not great. Let's not do that again. Very interested to see how this plays out, though. I think the Falcons have one of the more intriguing offenses, and we're looking at probably one of the most dramatic changes of an offense that I can think of in recent memory, at least in terms of how things are going to be run and how they're going to look. So I hope it works out. I'm excited to see how it plays out. Zach Robinson, work your magic. Let's see what you can do. And excited, of course, to see Kirk Cousins here too, and see how this all comes together. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will have another one of these coming out about the defense. The defense is a little bit harder to gauge because, again, we kind of just have to assume they're doing like a Vic Fangio-style thing. But Raheem Morris put in his own wrinkles, and then we've got Jimmy Lake, who we don't really know what he wants to do exactly. So there's going to be a little bit more sort of trying to read the talk about, you know, what could happen. Don't have as many good stats to necessarily back that up. But we're still going to talk about it. We're going to go into a little bit, talk about the personnel they've acquired and sort of how things might change. But definitely look for that coming soon as well. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please like, subscribe if you haven't done so already. Leave us that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Check out the Patreon and the channel memberships. If you sign up there, any of the paid tiers get you access to early access shows, get you access to ad limited episodes. You just have to listen to my one bet online read and then you're done. You know, that's it. It's like within the first 3 minutes, right? And of course the patron and YouTube fantasy football leagues exclusive to patrons and now the YouTube channel members, of course. Those were a lot of fun. We're gonna be firing those up in the next month or so. So if you're interested in getting involved in that, sign up there. And then we'll be moving our way through the summer. The dead zone is coming. We got regular minicamp in a couple weeks. And we'll see how that goes as we get into the summer and the dead zone here. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you next time on the Dirty Birds of Brews podcast. Have a great day, folks.
Cam found out that group chats between different phones aren't private.
Or encrypted,
thank you. We only text in code.
Yes, which I created. I created a code.
Yes, which can be a little annoying.
Wait, was that your attempt at the code?
You already forgot the code, didn't you?
I should have written it down.
The place to safely send messages between different devices. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.